Hello, everybody. This is Ellie.
And this is Jesse. And this is All Ideas Are Bad Ideas,
the podcast about the things we believe in our hearts to be perfect, but we know in our minds are fundamentally flawed.
This week, our bad ideas focus is Adam's family values.
Again, the Addams Family, new baby in the house makes three. Wednesday puzzling alert, you ring. Fest up grandmama and thing. Wait, can't forget cousin It. Tag team reps, another party hit. It's the Addams Family movie theme. Gomez Morticia, come on, sing.
Whoop, there it is, the Addams Family, which was my vote for the ultimate bad idea of this episode. I was so engrossed in the film, and then that happened, and I just wasn't ready, let's say.
Yeah, it was very out of place. It's kind of weird. And, like, sometimes I can appreciate the somehow that somebody wrote a rap for your thing, but, like, the Addams Family was not it? And it did not even, like, it's not like the rest of the soundtrack had modern music in it. Like, it was a pretty typical movie soundtrack.
Well, and it was also very perplexing to me because it wasn't even like a new song. It was just the whoom, there it is, whoom, there it is, but with like the Addams Family thrown in there. And then they started like naming Addams Family characters. Right. And I was like, this is so weird. When will it end? So I turned off the credits at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
But I think that diving in on something that I was like, oh, this is the ultimate bad idea, is maybe like a really good way to start this episode, because it's gonna be a bit of a weird one, folks.
As typical with the Addams Family, I mean, we couldn't do an Addams Family episode without it being a little bit weird. That'd just be
okay,
weird.
Okay, you have an excellent point. You have an excellent point. Yeah, but so we were, we do some like pre-show determining how we're gonna sort of structure our episodes. And the thing that we really realized here is that like, this movie doesn't really just have one ultimate bad idea, and it also doesn't have that many bad ideas in general. What it's got, instead of having lots of smaller bad ideas, is that it's got two sort of overarching weird bad ideas that are happening, and they may be built up of, like, smaller moments, but in general, they sort of run into, like, everything that we're gonna talk about runs into one of two bigger ideas. So we've sort of decided that instead of saying, oh, this is the ultimate bad idea, because, you know, the Addams Family had to be a little creepy and kooky out here on their own, we're gonna give you not one, but two bad ideas for the price of one. That's right, folks. For just six easy payments of nothing, you will get two ultimate bad ideas for the price of one.
What a great deal. And as usual, here on the podcast, we try to balance our bad ideas so that we have some that are bad ideas within the context of whatever show or movie we're watching. We're like, from the character's perspective, a really bad idea. And some from outside, where from our perspective as viewers, this might have been a bad idea. And we're trying the same thing here. So one of our kind of ultimate bad ideas for this week is an outside perspective, and one of them is an inside perspective.
So I think we had talked about we were going to jump in with the outside perspective here. So are you ready? Are you ready for this? Ready? Ready? Ready for this? Let's just keep doing ready. 90s like rap. Yeah.
Our bad idea.
Okay. That was my personal bad idea for the Addams Family episode. Anyway, go.
Yes.
Hit me.
So our ultimate bad idea from an outside perspective is, we felt like there were a lot of discordant elements within this movie that didn't match the kind of Addams Family canon that had come before it. So, I mean, Ellie's coming from a perspective of having really watched the TV show from the 60s, which I've seen as well. And I'm coming from the perspective of having seen that, as well as the 1991 movie that was kind of a prequel to this, that started off this chain of new Addams Family movies, of which this one is the second. And so we just like to talk about kind of all these little things that didn't seem to mix right as far as this movie was concerned when compared to stuff from the Addams Family that we'd seen before.
Right. So I think one of the first things that like I personally really noticed was that I felt like, of course, the Addams Family is dark. That's sort of their thing. They live in the creepy house. They've got the theme song. You know, they're mysterious and spooky and altogether ooky or whatever. But like, there are some bits where they veer from the sort of funny, like, oh, ha, ha, like, the kids are playing with a guillotine, like, this is, you know, like, this is dark, but in a very clearly joking fashion, to, like, truly, like, dark places. Like, there's the part right at the very beginning where, Wednesday, Pugsley, and Grandma Adams, like, murder the family cat, and, like, that was odd. Like, murder is not usually part of the Adams family's bag.
Right.
They might make some dark jokes, or like, you know, oh, he's dead now, ha ha, whatever. But like, the literal act of like ending the life was what struck the dark note with me. Like, yeah, the kids are messing with the baby, but like, it's always in a cartoon violence sort of way. You know, they throw him out the window and like, Gomez happens to catch him. That's very like Tom and Jerry, you know, like it's something that you sort of expect.
Well, and it's very Adams Family. I mean, in that exact same scene, Pugsley drops the cannonball as well, and it just, like, lands on Lurch, and Lurch just keeps watering the plants, because he's Lurch, he's practically indestructible. And, like, that's a very Adams Family thing of, like, you know, somebody who's indestructible, and they have a couple of them in their family. I mean, Fester, you cannot blow him up, even if you try. Debbie tried. Like, you know, there's that kind of whole thing where, like, that's part of why they play with dynamite and drop things off the roof is because, like, they know they're gonna be okay because the Adams family's a little weird like that. So there's a difference between that kind of idea of, like you said, kind of cartoon violence or, like, having the kids play around with weapons and stuff and just, like, kind of joking that that's their normal or whatever. And then the actual, like, killing the cat or actual joking about murder. Like you were saying before we started, like that part where Debbie gets introduced and she's like, I have my references in case you want to know that I'm a serial killer or not. And Gomez says something like, of course you're not, you're too young. And she's like, calls him a lady killer and he goes, acquitted. Like that, the kind of jokes about like actual murder, like crime that actually hurts people, was a little bit off base from the standard Adams Family joking about like unusual things.
Right, it's where, it's like, that's something that, to me, like, says Adam's Family. Like, it is this sort of, it's a cartoony over the top. So, like, you've got characters who, you know, can't be blown up, and children who are playing with dangerous weapons, or, like, the scene when Morticia and Gomez do the, like, super dramatic tango to the weird tango version of the original Adam's Family theme song, and she throws the knife at him, and he catches it in his teeth. Like, that is what I'm like when I think of the Addams Family. Like, that's what I think of. The sort of over the top, but you know no one's ever getting hurt kind of darkness, quote unquote. Yeah. Like, whereas, like, this movie stuck to that a lot. Like we've said, you know, there was, there's the part that I was just talking about with the tango, and there's the part where, that you had mentioned when we were doing a little bit of pre-pro about Morticia and the saying that she loves children, but she doesn't have enough time to commune with the forces of darkness or whatever. Like sort of comically weird and dark, but without the, like, real-life sort of elements of, like, oh, like, the main characters are murderers. Like, even the fact that Debbie has killed all of her husbands is less weird, because she's not an Adams. Like, she is the danger that's come into the story to, like, you know, provide a plot, basically. But like,
well, and that's the whole point, is that she's a real serial killer. None of the Adams have actually killed anybody. She's the serial killer that comes in, and of course, from an outside perspective, somebody might be like, wow, that weird creepy family on the hill has probably killed people, but they never have. I mean, the worst they've done is there's some canon in the original TV series that, like, Gomez's family line is, like, a bunch of failed politicians that, like, tried to do weird things in government and failed because they were trying to do weird things in government. Like, that's about as weird as it, that's about as close to
real
impacting
life.
Other people that they get, you know? Like, besides that, it's all kind of within the Adams family. And so, like, that's halfway the point, that Debbie is the person you wouldn't expect. She's bright and bubbly and cheerful, and she lives in Hawaii, and, like, when they're telling the police about her, like, it sounds like all good things. Like, you know, she married him and bought a rich house, and they moved to Hawaii, and they're, you know, living, having happy intercourse together or whatever, and, like, that's the point, is that from the outside, she seems perfect, and then she's the serial killer. So it doesn't make sense then to kind of add that same element into the Adams Family when you're trying to provide that contrast of, like, she's all white dresses and smiles and blonde hair, but she's a serial killer, whereas they're all dark dresses and dour faces in graveyards, but they've never killed anybody.
Right. Like, by making the murder jokes, you sort of undermine setting up Debbie as a bad guy. Like, because if the Adams have done it too, then she should just fit in.
Yeah. Well, and there's a difference between joking about, like the cartoon violence, like, you know, making the jokes about how the children play or whatever, and making jokes about, like, actual death. And again, like, that kind of inside the Addams Family and outside the Addams Family thing. Because the Addams Family as a unit, as a family, an extended family, kind of have their own codes and social cues that those jokes kind of call on. But as soon as you pull it outside, it doesn't quite fit anymore the same way.
Right. Well, and the other thing, too, is that, like, the Addams Family, you know, like, their cartoon violence is contained to each other. Like,
right.
Making jokes about murder doesn't make sense because the Addams are only dangerous when they're messing with one another. Like, it's not like when when Wednesday and Pugsley, you know, go to camp later, they're like, you know, actually, they don't build a guillotine and try to chop off the girl's head, and they don't, like,
right.
What they, like, they do end up playing with weapons, but it's not the same. Like, it doesn't have an element of danger to it, because the Addams Family is only dangerous when they're around each other, and then they're not really dangerous because none of them ever get hurt. Like, that's the point of them.
Right. Well, and that's the whole thing. And like you said, like, when Pugsley and Wednesday are at camp, like, do they scare the other kids? Yes. And do they know they're doing that? Wednesday at least does. She's very intentional about it. And the whole, like, burning the village and stuff, like, you know, she lights a fire literally underneath the girl who she can't stand. But, like, it's not an attempt to kill her. Like, you know, even from Wednesday's perspective, the goal is not to kill her. The goal is just to scare her enough that they'd never bother her again. Like, that's
right.
The whole deal, is to just kind of drive them away. And with the Addams parents, honestly, it's usually the opposite. I mean, the whole TV show hinged on the fact that some poor normal soul would stumble into the Addams house and, like, have an encounter with them where they were trying to be perfectly friendly, and they end up terrifying the wits out of, you know, some doctor or mailman or, you know, some normal person.
Right. So I think, like, that's the first part of our, like, this was odd and it felt a little, and not the whole movie. Like, the whole movie rings very Addams Family.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
As a general, if you sit down and you watch it all, that's what it is. Like, they're the Addams Family, they act like the Addams Family, it all fits together. But there are these brief moments where you're like, you get sort of pulled back and you go, oh, that's weird, and then you're back to it again, and, you know.
Right.
They're making jokes about only being able to have two children, you know, like, and one of them has to die. Like,
right, and I don't know. There was just the kind of extra edge of darkness was just one of many, like, extra things. Like, I feel like the Addams Family values as a movie tried to really take so many of the elements that had made the movie before it, the Addams Family and the TV show, kind of special and enjoyable, or, you know, unique, or I mean, because they are all kind of a stereotype. They're very exuberant personalities. And so I think they just took it a little too far. Everything in this movie was a little extra. It was extra dark, and it was extra sexual, which we'll talk about later. And it was just extra in all sorts of different ways. And one of the ways that struck me was, just in comparison to the 91 movie, because it's really hard to compare media from different decades as far as pacing goes, because pacing for a television show made in the 60s is so different from pacing for a family movie made in the 90s. Like, they're just very separate
entities.
Yeah, they're separate structures as far as media is concerned. But so, like, comparing this one, made in 93, to the movie before it, made in 91, I think is fair. And the pacing just seems really weird. Like, I watched the first movie recently, too, because I watched it in October, I did an Addams Family binge. So I'd watched it recently, and just, even in comparison from the Addams Family movie to Addams Family Values, the pacing was so sharp. Like, you get into the movie, and Morticia's like, by the way, I'm having a baby, and then she has the baby, and then there's a baby, and then there's all this nonsense, and then there's a nanny, and the nanny is the real plot problem, but then the kids get sent to camp. Like, it's all happening really fast, and it kind of evens out as the movie goes on, but there are still some elements of this kind of, like,
really rapid fire kind of development of events because they feel like they don't have to establish any of the characters. But they also lost something with that, I feel. Because in the first movie,
the plot was much slower. There was only one real plot. You know, there was a couple of little things that happened that were very Addams Family-esque, but there was one real plot. And it developed and developed and developed, and there was stuff that happened, and it kind of had a normal pace. Whereas I felt like this sometimes had a normal pace, and sometimes just, like, was really choppy. You'd go from one scene to the next, and all of this is happening. And you're not even sure of the timeline. Like, there's that whole part where, like, Wednesday and Pugsley are, like, supposedly trapped at camp, but then they leave for Fester's wedding. They don't talk to any of their family about how much they hate camp, and then they're back at camp. And there's no transition there. There's no them getting picked up in the Addams Family hearse. There's no them trying to talk Lurch into, like, not taking them back to camp. There's just literally one scene where they're at Fester's wedding at the Addams Family house, and they're back at summer camp.
Right. It doesn't make a ton of sense.
It just feels a little rushed.
It feels like there's stuff that's left out because they rushed it. I agree with you about that part. I don't know much about the pacing of the first movie, so I can really only agree with you about, like, the choppiness of the one we watched.
Right. Well, and I feel like that's what makes it valid, not just the comparison, but that if you can look at this as a movie and be like, yeah, your pacing was whack here, like, that's a bad idea.
Yeah. I think, like a lot of sort of children and family movies, this fell under the trap of the, like, hour and a half curse, because it's an hour and a half. I mean, yeah. It's like it's something like, I feel like it was 94 minutes maybe when I checked to see how long it was.
Right.
It was, but like, so in that way, like, that's sort of, that can cause pacing issues. But like, if what you're saying about, you know, the first one having this sort of building plot, blah, 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 like, it didn't have a weirdly rushed pace, then, like, not only is it, like, a bad choice in general, like, it's never a good idea. Like, I always feel like there's, like, some hour and a half long movies try to pack too much into them, Moana. but, like, if the first one didn't, then, like, not only do you don't even have a precedent for it, you're just sort of messing with things.
Right. Well, and that was it. Like I've said before, it wasn't anything that was, like, super blatantly a bad idea before, like, in the first movie or in the TV show. They just took these things and made them, like, bigger, and so in some cases of slightly bad ideas, they made them worse, because it wasn't like there wasn't any choppiness in the first movie. There was a little bit of, like, quick cutscenes made for humorous intent, and, you know, it just, like, quickly shifting things where you're like, oh, that just happened, but, like, it kind of tended to make sense, whereas I feel in this one it was overused, and so eventually you just got to the point where you're like, now we're just flipping channels. Like, now we're just going from one kind of plot thread to the next without, like, a whole lot of coherency between the two.
Right. No, I felt that, because it's like, there's almost two distinct movies here. Like, yeah, the fact that the kids are at summer camp is because of Debbie, but, like, Debbie's presence is one story, and the summer camp thing is another story. And it, like, it works. Again, it's not something that's bad, but, like, it's choppy.
Well,
it is what you said.
And it just feels very separate. Because, I mean, I feel like it could have been so much more included. Because Wednesday the entire time, like, knows Debbie is bad for Fester, and she knows something is up. Which, another bad idea. Could somebody listen to Wednesday for once? Like, in the first movie, she calls the entire plot at, like, scene 3, and the same thing happens here. Like, she's like, that woman's bad news, and she's gonna try to take Fester from us. And everybody was like, psh! And then, like, sent her off to summer camp, and then nothing happened. Like, listen to Wednesday, is what I'm saying. Wednesday has the real thoughts.
Wednesday knows. It's very Cassandra of her, which makes sense for
the
dark, unbelieved prophetess.
And for the whole summer camp thing, which we will get into. Oh, we will definitely get into that.
Oh, we will get into it.
But what I was gonna say was that, you know, it wasn't like they started out completely separate. Like you said, they were at summer camp because of Debbie, and, like, Wednesday has this idea the whole time that, like, Debbie's bad news, and she's trying to escape summer camp so she can go save Fester, but then, like, she doesn't do that. She escapes summer camp, and she gets back, and Fester is already saved. Like, Debbie's already gone, Fester's already back to the family, he's apologized to Gomez. Like, that struck me as really weird, because, like, you had this opportunity to remind people that these plots stemmed from the same issue, that they actually were related the whole time, instead of just, like, half the movie's about Debbie and Fester, half the movie's about the kids at summer camp.
Right.
You could have intertwined them a lot more, and, like, the same thing with the transitions with the wedding scene. Like, if you're already gonna pull them out of summer camp to be part of this other plot, like, at least make them part of the other plot. And then so they just came back, and, like, the plot was already over, And you were like, oh, so turns out the kids didn't have to save the day? And they just went to summer camp and taught us a social allegory. Which, cool, but from a plot perspective, not as great.
Right. Less ideal than it could have been. So while we're talking about Debbie. Oh, Debbie. She just... her boobs are just always out. And, like, I support her right to have her boobs out all the time. Like, you do you, girl. It just, much like the exaggerated murder violence jokes, sort of was weird for an Addams Family movie.
It was especially... definitely...
Carry on.
Oh, I was just gonna say, it was definitely, like, way over-sexualized for the Addams Family. Which is saying something, because Gomez and Morticia are the heart of the Addams Family.
Right. It was, I think, the reason that Debbie is so, like, oddly placed in this is because it's not like a... I've lost the thread of this thought. It had, like...
it's not like romance and love and then also sex. It was like just sex. No romance, no love, pure sex.
Right. Well, it wasn't like, it was also like, I can't remember the word that I was going to use, but there was like a, it's really overt, right? Like, okay, yes. That's where I was going with it. Like, especially... for a movie that, I mean, is ostensibly, like you've said before, it's a children's and family movie. Like, it's, you know, it's an hour and a half long, which is the length of children movies. I think it's rated PG, which is, like, a normal rating for the children's and family.
I think so. I mean, regardless, it was phased in as a family movie.
Right. So, like, the fact that Debbie is sort of overtly, like, controlling Fester with her, like, sexual allure, and the fact that it's not just that, like, oh, she's pretty and he loves her, like, it's, oh, she's pretty and he loves her, and also they're totally doing it, like, the right. Totally doing it is really blatant in a way that, like, yeah. You would not expect for a children's movie, like, yeah, like, Fester being under her spell of love,
right,
makes sense, and, like, you would be implied that there's probably sex, but it's not implied in this film. It is.
It just is. Yeah, and that's the thing that gets me. And I get, again, they're trying to make this kind of, like, foil between Gomez and Morticia's actual healthy relationship based on lots of things, including true love, and then, like, Fester and Debbie's relationship, which is based mostly on sex, it turns out. But, like, you don't need it to be that overt to get that point across. Like, you don't need to have made as many comments as you did about physical love. The whole honeymoon scene was, like, way over the top. You did not need to have half of that play out the way it did. At some point, like that night that they get engaged, Fester makes, like, a masturbation joke. Like, there's this whole part where she's like, I've never, you know, she's pretending to be a virgin. She's like, well, I've never had physical love with somebody, as she, like, sexually, like, positions her body. And Fester says some comment, like, with another person? Like, you know, he, like, distinguishes that. And, like, that was just so out of place. Like, they're doing it to be funny about how, like, Fester has no experience. But, like, you did not need that. Not in this family movie. Not in any Addams Family thing. Like, it wasn't funny enough to merit it being there. And the whole scene was a little weird now because of that whole bit with him and Debbie.
Right. Well, like, what I was, like, okay, yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying. This is, like, I think that's what I mean. Like, the whole thing with Fester and Debbie didn't have to be so, like, overtly, grossly sex-based talk-y. Like,
yeah.
There are lots of children's movies where, like, a person falls in love with someone who's bad and, like, you know that they're under their spell or whatever. And, like, you could even be a little bit more overt with the, like, sex. But sometimes this one was just, like... it just went too far. Instead of it being, like, you know... like, even the, like... there were parts of the, like, honeymoon scene, whatever, that would have totally, like, made sense and been okay in a kid's movie. But it was, like... yeah. They just... there were some, like, lines. And they just went right across them. And you're not feeling the same tone as the rest of this movie. Like, you're not, I don't know.
No, and that's what we felt about the whole movie, was that they would have a thing and it would be okay up to a certain point, but then they'd go past that point with it. whether it was kind of the gruesome gothic aesthetic or whatever, or the Debbie sexuality, or, you know, the way that the Adamses kind of interact with the outside world, or the pace, like, the kind of humorous juxtaposition of things. Like, they would take something good, and they just take it a little bit too far, to a point where you're like, okay, I'd buy that, but now this feels weird.
Right. I think, and, like, that's why this was an ultimate bad idea for us, because it's a running theme throughout the movie. It's why we couldn't decide between our two to make, like, the real ultimate bad idea. That's why, like, this idea of sort of an over-the-topness is the first ultimate bad idea for the Addams Family values, because it is so all-encompassing. Like, it's not just one thing. It's points throughout the movie where you're sort of jerked out of what's happening because you're like, oh, that's weird, and then you're back into it.
Yeah, yeah. And it just doesn't feel quite like the Addams Family anymore. Not quite. Close, but not quite.
And that, in a movie that's called The Addams Family, is a very bad idea.
Very true. Well, would you like to introduce our second ultimate bad idea then, since we've kind of covered the first?
Oh, I would love to. I'm totally down. Okay, so, like Jesse said right at the beginning, we usually try to find a healthy mix of things that are sort of, you know, as a character in the film, you think this is a bad idea, and as an outside viewer, you think this is a bad idea, and having touched on the thing that is a bad idea, for us as viewers, we are going to swoop right in to the bad idea of the world that has been built. And that, my friendos, is the summer camp.
And we have to just say the summer camp, because honestly, everything involved with the summer camp is such a bad idea. Like, we will break it down, but, like, I honestly couldn't pick one thing in the summer camp without, like, talking about the rest of summer camp. Like, the entire... I mentioned social allegories earlier, and this is that. The summer camp is a social allegory. It's making a point about so many different social problems that exist in America, and it does a great job of that. Like, from an outside perspective, it's one of my favorite parts of the movie. I love that they put the summer camp in there. Like, I think that Wednesday going to summer camp and having this whole experience and, like, saying the things she does, like the witty one-liners back, is like one of my favorite parts. It's also why we chose this movie for this week, because it's getting close to Thanksgiving, and this was truly the only Thanksgiving-based movie that I could think of. But it also, from an in-character perspective, and from a perspective within our own society, which this is a reflection of, it's just such a bad idea.
Yeah, so, you start out, these kids are rolling up to camp, and they, like, from the beginning, something's a little weird. Like, the counselors literally at one point refer to it as a camp for privileged children or something.
Yeah,
and then you know,
privileged, like, 5 times. Like, I think I kept a tally, because that was a bad idea, too. Like, how many times can you use the word privilege as you introduce somebody to a camp?
And boy, did they... They just blew my expectation for the number of times out of the water. It's, so, you know, there and then, like, we all know that there are summer camps for kids who are rich. We all know it. But, like, this movie, the acknowledgement of it in this film, like, as an in-film thing, is, just bad. It's just not a great idea. Like, that's a bad.
Well, and some of the families that you meet, because the Addams Family is rich. I mean, this is why Wednesday and Pugsley are at this camp, is that the Addams Family is very wealthy. It might be in weird things like about 100-year-old bonds or whatever, but, like, they have wealth, and, like, Gomez
right.
is very excessive about it. He has no problem with spending it, so, like, it makes sense that they would send their kids, and so they're not, you know, they're not outsiders necessarily to the world of the affluent, but they are certainly very different, and they have very different ways of thinking than the other affluent families that send their kids to this camp.
You could say that, yeah. You could. I mean, first of all, I would just like to say that the brainwashing scenes, all of them are funny.
Yeah.
Like, it's very, like, it amuses me because it's very, like, I mean, it's over the top. They're, like, almost, they're, like, prisoners of war. They put them in that cabin and they turn on all of the, like, Bambi and whatever, and they make them sit on that couch and just, like, watch
them.
And, like, first of all, it seems mildly illegal because they don't let the children out of the cabin. Like, that seems a little
right
imprisonment-y. But, like, it's also funny. It's very
right.
much, like, in line with this sort of, like, oh, privilege, happy place, campness that goes on throughout the camp, basically.
Right. Well, and that's, I mean, that's their whole deal. Like, the camp counselors, such a bad idea in themselves. I mean, they represent kind of the worst of that kind of edge of society, like the kind of catering to the wealthy while also kind of being one of them and believing in that kind of, like, fake ideals. Like, what I mean by that is that, like, at some point, like, the female counselor, I forget her name, the one with the pigtails.
Right.
And, you know, she'll, like, ask those questions of the kids, and, like, her third question is always something way off base. Like, do you ever just want to strangle their tiny little necks? And then, like, the kids will go, yeah, and she'll go, no. Like, because it's just, like, that's the whole thing, is that, like, this chipper optimism is just a front for hiding their real feelings that they hate people who are different from them. And it kind of fosters this mob mentality of, like, we will do all these things, but we cannot appear to be bad. It must all appear to be positive. As long as it all appears to be positive, we are good people. It does not matter what we actually think or what we're actually doing, as long as it sounds like it's growth. It's like a fake kind of positivity that's actually harmful to people.
Right. Well, and it, like, you know, it's very much your thing about, like, disliking people who are different is, like, super, super apparent in the camp because, you know, Wednesday and Pugsley clearly are, you know, they're, like, weird and goth. But then, like, the other small child person that's in love with Wednesday, whose name escapes me,
I don't remember his name either, but he's great.
But, like, you know, vaguely ethnic child.
Yeah.
Ethnically ambiguous, I guess. I don't mean to be racist, but, like, he's, like, he doesn't look white. Or, you know, like, even, maybe even if he is white, like, all of the girls at the camp that the counselors love are, like, blonde and tan and, like...
Right.
It's, like, a very much a stereotype of, like, American wealth.
Well, and that's the whole point of the allegory of the camp. And they do that well, which is why, like, the camp is not the bad idea from the outside perspective, only from the inside. Because from the inside, and honestly, we're kind of in the inside because these thoughts about how our society is structured by class and race have not actually changed as much as we might have hoped since 93. So, you know, society in America still probably what an ultimate bad idea. But, like, the message, like, the movie making the message is not the bad idea. It's, like, the stuff within it that is bad is the bad idea. Like,
right.
You were talking about Wednesday's, like, friend that she makes at camp. And he, like, I mean, his whole character is a statement. I mean, his dad thinks he should just suck it up and be a man. His mom thinks he's allergic to everything. He probably is allergic to lots of things, but maybe not as much as his mom thinks. But he doesn't even like his mom because his mom's controlling. Like, there's this whole kind of dynamic with them that, like, he's just genuinely unhappy and he's allergic to things when he goes outside. Like, that's, like, and it's... It was just, I mean, especially in the 90s, I mean, that was just kind of on the rise, and there was this whole debate, well, are we just coddling these kids, or are they actually allergic to everything? And the truth was somewhere in the middle. The truth was that kids were more sensitive to things, and we should cater to that, but, you know, also it's not everything. And so, I mean, he's a statement, and then, I mean, talk about bad ideas at the summer camp. The summer camp is extremely racist, like, the most.
So racist. The most racist. Well, because again, it's another, like, I know that in Only Moments we're going to touch on that beautiful, beautiful play that happens at the end. But, like, you'll notice that, like, the kids are very, like, delineated into two different groups by the counselors. They're like, here are all of the blonde white kids, and there are all of the, like, kids with skin that is darker than the blonde white kids, or who have any sort of physical issue.
Right, well, that's it. Like, the whole scene where they pan over the kids who are going to be cast as the Chippewas, like, it's this whole, like, pilgrims are the beautiful, flaxen-haired white maidens that are the camp favorites, and they say not everybody's going to be a star, even though, I mean, my thing with that is that you have two different, like, groups of actors. They're both, like, if you're doing a play about both groups. So that alone just shows that, like, you're making a play about the pilgrims and the Native Americans. But, you know, the pilgrims are the stars of the play, and the Native Americans are the unfortunate people who had to play the Native Americans. Like, right out of the gate, it's just racist as shit. And then they pan over the kids that they've chosen to be the Chippewas, and it's just, like, literally every minority that you can think of. Like, it's like people with brown skin, people with darker brown skin. This girl is in a wheelchair. This one is overweight. This person has braces. Like, it's just like all of the, like, every discrimination you could think of.
From, like, the majorly major issue of, like, that is racist to the, like, relatively in the grand scheme of, like, amounts of oppression, like, for things that can be changed, like the kid with braces.
Right.
Like,
it's like minor bullying.
They hit on all of
to, like, major racism and ableism. Like, it was just... And, like, it, but what you were saying about how they're all kind of, like, these blonde, you know, girls and boys that are their favorites, like, I mean, that shows when she goes, like, our very own brunette. Like, Wednesday is literally the only brunette child here that they could think of to cast as a Native American.
Right.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
It's just...
It's bad.
Gary's...
And then the play
Gary's
itself.
Gary's vision. Racist.
And bad.
And terrible.
Like, the scene with the turkeys singing about, like, kill me and eat me was very, like, bad.
Again,
like, it
weird
was,
murder jokes.
I was offended, but not for, like major offensive reasons, but because it was, like, dumb and terrible, and I was offended that I had to hear it with my own ears.
Well, and, like, you can tell by the parents' reactions, because all of these affluent parents are there to see the play, right? And, like, I, you know, the racism didn't bother them. It was, like, that part, everybody was looking at each other like,
what is happening?
Not comfortable. Not comfortable
yeah.
with this. Like, it was very weird. But I could not believe the things that were said. Which, again, the point, it, like, supposed to slap you in the face with shit that's racist. Nobody should be like that. And that's the whole point. But, like the things that the parents said at that play, like, you know, Wednesday's friend, like, complaining about him having to play the Native American, like, the other
right.
Native American lead. They're like, we paid, you know, so many million dollars for this. Like, and they said some really super racist slur. And I was like, whoa, okay, that's terrible.
Too much.
Bad idea.
This has gone too far.
Bad, bad idea.
Yeah. The camp, again, like, that's sort of the point of the camp. And while we've addressed the fact that, like, sometimes it feels like the camp was shoehorned in to make a point about social commentary, it does a good job of addressing the social commentary because it's such a in-world bad idea. Like, it's
right.
so full of these sort of...
Well, it's a brilliant social commentary because, I mean, in some ways, how the kind of, like, extra nature of the movie was a really bad idea, in this way it actually worked. Like, they pulled no punches. They
right.
they had bad characters saying lines that were really bad things that made you go, wow, that was terrible, and I never want to be like that person. Like, they did a brilliant job of making a very clear line between acceptable behavior when it comes to, when it comes to differences just between people and unacceptable ways to behave and think and act about that.
Right,
diversity.
Well, and I think that's sort of where the Addams Family has always been good at being over the top. Like, the Addams Family, like, is supposed to be over the top in some ways, and I think that that's something that, like, fits the tone more so. Like, the Addams Family themselves are very, like, they're weird and they're out there and, like, that's over the top and they don't fit in and, like,
yeah.
the fact that they're, like, you know, that Wednesday and Pugsley become part of this, like, rebel band of outsiders that burn down the camp, like...
Right.
That's a sort of over-the-topness that totally makes sense. And
yeah.
the, like, the fact that they're burning down the camp is in response to this over-the-top, like, racism and whatever, classism, etc. And, like, that makes sense. It's the other side of the over-the-top coin, where the over-the-top does fit the tone. Like,
yes.
that is the tone. They are over-the-top. They just were over-the-top in a couple spots.
And, I mean, and that's a very Addams Family thing, too, because, like, the Addams Family has always been... kind of skilled at somehow causing good social change while completely angling for something entirely different and ridiculous. Like, Wednesday, when she comes back to camp and she's kind of, like, angry about having been sent away to camp, she doesn't say, you sent us away to camp, they're a racist as shit. Like, she doesn't say that. She goes, you sent us away to camp, they made us sing. Like, that's what she cares about, and that's super Addams Family, like, and Morticia caring about
right.
caring more about the pastels in Debbie's house than the fact that she's entranced Fester with sexual allure. Like, she's like, that I can respect, but pastels? Like, and that's a very Addams Family thing, is that
right.
you know, make all these
changes and make all this good happen by actually going for something else entirely.
Right. The social commentary is secondary to the, like, Wednesday is mad that she's at summer camp, so she bands up with the other people who are not enjoying summer camp and burns down the summer camp.
Right. Because
she just also happens to be burning down some racist institution.
That's it, yeah. And she makes a point. And Wednesday is very aware. And that's a thing that I think they did a really good job with in the 90s movies. Was that they gave Wednesday a really good personality. I mean, in the TV show, she was just really young. It was just a really young character played by a really young actress. And that was it. And that was fine. So when they took her and they kind of fleshed out her character more, they did a really good job with making her kind of this intensely sharp individual. Like, she's very bright and she will just do whatever she thinks she wants to do.
Yeah. And it's I mean, it's over the top for a child, but like, it also, you know, she's Morticia's daughter, like,
right,
it totally works.
And Gomez is, and honestly, you can see both in her pretty starkly, like,
well, yeah, for sure.
It's hard when your bad ideas always get derailed into good ideas because the movie is actually really good. The movie's actually really good. There's so many good things.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah. But, I mean, summer camp as an in-universe thing, definitely the worst idea. There was just so much bad in there. And how Gomez and Morticia could even believe their kids wanted to go. Like, I get the whole thing about, like, trusting the nanny, and like Debbie set it up as like, well, they'll complain, but I know they really want it, and like, you know, they're trying to do something. Well, maybe the kids do want it, and even if we don't think it's great, maybe they really want it. But like, I don't know how you could arrive on that doorstep and be like, yes, Wednesday and Pugsley will have a good time here.
But hey, it kind of worked out in the end, right?
Something happened. They, at the very least, they changed the camp forever.
And made a new friend!
And made a new friend, who will probably grow up to be Wednesday's husband.
And it'll be beautiful.
Yeah, I do kind of... Sometimes I have trouble with child characters kind of getting, like, set up with people. Like, I think that in general, it's a worse idea than people seem to think for these characters that are young children to kind of be, like, hitched. And you're like, yeah, they're gonna grow up and get married. But, like... And sometimes it's fine, and, like, I'm not thinking it's, like, a super bad idea in this movie, but I'm always a little on the fence about that kind of stuff, because, like, they're so young. Like, I can buy them becoming good friends, or, like, having some awkward kind of dating encounters, but nothing, like, along the lines of, like, yes, they're set forever. Go us.
Yeah, I think that the reason it doesn't strike as, like, bizarrely in this film is because, like, you know, the boy very clearly has a crush on Wednesday, and there's that scene at the end where he's like, oh, but could you ever, like... see yourself growing up and getting married, and like, what if the man promised to love you and do whatever you said? And she said the little thing about, like, I would think he was weak or whatever.
She,
like,
said I'd pity him. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that the reason that it doesn't feel weird to me to think, like, oh, like, they're gonna probably, they've sort of been set up as this, like, couple, is because they're very clearly, like, they're not a couple then, sort of, like, they kiss through the fence or whatever, but, like,
yeah.
Wednesday's not going down without a fight, I guess. Not to, like, make it sound like getting married and dating is, like, a game to win. But, like, it's very much, like, she has a strong opinion about, like, who she is and what she wants and what she thinks. And, like, that boy clearly just still has growing up to do. And, like, they don't leave it on this note where you're, like, certain that they're dating and they're just gonna date forever. You're sort of, like,
totally.
They know each other and they're still very close, and like, they're probably gonna end up together, but who knows? I don't know. I think that for me was why it didn't seem as weird.
I would agree with that. I think part of it for me was that they were kind of making the mirror of Morticia and Gomez to the point where when they kiss through the fence, like, they say the same things, and like, he says the same kind of like romantic sayings that Gomez says to Morticia all the time. And so like, it felt a really premature. I was like, they're not adults yet, and Morticia and Gomez are definitely like two highly consenting adults, like that's their whole thing. So like, it felt weird until that part where Wednesday was like, I'd pity him, because that's very much like a not a Morticia thing to say. That's very much a Wednesday thing to say, and that was like, that was a good point of her reasserting her character. And then you're like, yeah, they're different things will happen, you know.
Yeah,
they're not just like pinning them up on the board like, yep, here you go, the next Morticia and Gomez. Like,
they still get to be themselves.
Right.
And I think that that's important.
Yes.
For this part.
It is. It's crucial. Do you want to... I mean, we're kind of at the end of the episode. Do you want to...
Yeah, I think let's just hit it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you've enjoyed this 2-for-1 special this week, we would really appreciate it if you would take a moment to, oh, I don't know, subscribe to us on iTunes. And if you're feeling really into it, maybe leave a rating or a review. Or heck, share it with one of your friends. We know that lots of people out there like the Addams Family.
Also, if you are interested in finding us anywhere else on the internet, you can always go to our website. That is allideasarebadideas.wordpress.com. And that has your links to everything, including our Twitter. And then that's actually the website itself for our blog, which we have been updating recently.
Yes, and we will be updating it next week with something that you definitely want to keep your eyes peeled for.
And if you haven't seen the one from this last Monday, our off Monday, that I made, I really want you to go see it because it's a really dumb meme about the X-Files and how Ellie and I love and view the X-Files, and I hope you will enjoy it.
You will enjoy it. You must go look at it. Take right now. Just have you, do you have your phone? Get it out. Open the internet browser. Ideas are bad ideas. WordPress.com. Watch it.
Go to updates.
Watch the meme.
Go to updates. It click through it. It'll take like 5 minutes to read max. And if I do say so myself, I had a lot of fun making it. I think it's kind of hilarious.
I definitely had a good cackle reading it. So yeah, I think you'll love it. All right, y'all. We're going to sign off. Let you go. Let you finish enjoying the X-Files PowerPoint that Jesse has made for you. So this has been the Addams Family Values episode of All Ideas Are Bad Ideas.
See you in 2 weeks.